In keeping with the spirit of this day of multi-generational worship, we go from dedicating our children, committing to their nurture and spiritual growth, to honoring the deep legacy of ministry here at Booth by formally welcoming our Minister Emerita, Reverend Elizabeth Green. The title of Minister Emerita is granted to honor long and meritorious service to a congregation where the minister has given devoted and competent ministerial leadership. This congregation voted to bestow that title to Reverend Green upon her retirement from ministry in 2013. As many of you know, Elizabeth served this fellowship from 1988 to 2013, 25 years. She deserves retirement. In that time, she helped create a vibrant, welcoming, compassionate, progressive congregation in the Treasure Valley that grew from 150 members to 250 members during her tenure. Ministry does not exist alone. It prospers as the result of the dedication and service of many hands and hearts, nurturing one another, holding one another in care. A strong minister creates a container in which many ministries can thrive. Any minister entering a new congregation knows that her own ministry is part of a legacy, building on the devoted work of colleagues who came before her. It is a rare gift when these ministers are present together in the same congregation, supporting the vision for vibrant ministry and continued growth. It is especially appreciated in this isolated community when connection with other UU congregations and colleagues is challenged by great distances. In keeping with our UU Ministers Association guidelines, it's customary for newly retired ministers to take a leave of absence from the congregation to allow the interim period to have its full effect and make space for new ministry to take root. Elizabeth and I are working together to create a covenant between us that will support our relationship with one another and with this congregation. And we'll share that covenant with you when it's ready. As I begin to plant my roots, I do so in the shade of the legacy left by Elizabeth, knowing that there is a place of comfort and refuge and wisdom and support when I need it. So it is my great honor to officially welcome Reverend Elizabeth Green to this community in her new role as Minister Emerita. Elizabeth, I covenant with you to commit to a relationship of mutual honor, respect, trust, and caring. I affirm your new role as Minister Emerita and all the possibilities it brings to the mission and vision of our fellowship. I honor your unique gifts, your experience and wisdom, and promise to nurture a supportive, collegial relationship. Together, we will uphold the values of our Unitarian Universalist faith and affirm mutual investment in the healthy ministry of this great congregation you helped build.
Sarah, I covenant with you. This is very emotional. I covenant with you to commit to a relationship of mutual honor, respect, trust, and caring. I cannot express how deeply happy I am to feel this congregation looking forward with joy and vision to previously unthought of ways of being under your leadership. This settled ministry is well and truly yours. I know that with all my heart and will honor you fully as our spiritual leader called to serve in this exciting place and time. Together, we will uphold the values of our Unitarian Universalist faith and affirm mutual investment in the healthy ministry of this great congregation.
I invite all of you to rise, embody your spirit, and join together in the congregational affirmation found in your order of service. We And now, our story begins. Three scruffy, sketchy-looking teenagers traveled along Highway 44. They talked about movies and music, their friends, and the challenges of family life. They talked about their dreams and how they hoped to someday change the world and find a community who might accept them for just the way they are. But they were also very hungry, so they talked about food.
I'm starving.
I want some mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. Pizza. Oh, that sounds so good. Turkey.
Ooh, turkey.
Yeah.
The youngest one wondered out loud, what makes one happy?
I wonder what makes people happy.
That's a good question. I wonder, you see that town over there? I think we should go find out. I bet you they can help us figure out what makes people happy. Let's go check it out.
Sweet deal.
The sound of a bell brought their gaze to the rooftops of a small town below. They could not see from so high above that the town had been through many hard times. Lost jobs and homes during the Great Recession, floods from the nearby river, loss of land and business to big corporate megastores, hardline anti-government, anti-welfare politics had made the townspeople weary and untrusting and strangers to each other. They had even become suspicious of their neighbors. When the teenagers rounded the bend near the town, the people all ran back inside their homes. No one came to the town square to greet them. And when the people saw this sketchy, suspicious bunch, they closed their windows tight. The teens knocked on the door of the first house. There was no answer. Then the house went dark. They knocked on a second door. And the same thing happened. It happened again and again and again, from one house to the next. By this point, the teenagers knew for certain, as teenagers do, that these townspeople did not know happiness.
Guys, something's wrong in this town. These people don't know how to be happy. I think we need to give them a little help. I have an idea. Come here.
So the three decided to teach them how to make stone soup. As they were preparing their little camp, gathering twigs and branches to make a fire, they sang a little song they'd learned while they were on the road.
Oh my gosh, I love this song. It reminds me of this really awesome church I went to once. But it's so much better when we all sing it together. So all of you, let's rise together and sing this awesome song to L'Ecclesia. We're going to do some movements, so just follow along, let yourselves be free. The words are in your order of service. Ready? Here we go. To L'Ecclesia. bend down. One more time. Sing out. Na le pasakaya. Chula klizio. Na le pasakaya. Hands. Come down. Big one. Woo! Oh, isn't it so much better when we sing together? Oh, it's so great, but oh my gosh, it's making me so hungry. Come on, you guys. We got some work to do. We got to make this soup.
They placed a small tin pot on top of their fire and filled it with water from the village well. A brave little girl who had been watching came to them and asked what they were doing.
Oh, little girl.
What are you doing?
We're just whipping up some hot stone soup. We think the town needs a little pick-me-up. Plus, we are starving.
With a stone?
Yeah, we need 3 large stones for our soup. Know where we could get some?
The little girl helped the teenagers look around the square until they found just the right ones.
Found one!
Soup from stones, thought the little girl. That sounded strange and not very yummy. One of the teens might have needed some help from some of the children in the village to help put the stone in the soup pot.
Come on, children. If you want to help, we need it. I don't think our stones are going to fit in this pot, guys. What do you think?
Oh, dear.
Squeeze it. Try one more time.
I think we need
a bigger
pot.
The little girl jumped up and ran home, which is down at the end of that aisle right there.
What was that?
She knew her mother had a bigger pot. As she started to take a pot, any moment now, her mother asked what she was doing. She told them that there were 3 strangers that were making soup from stones and they needed a bigger pot. One by one, the people of the village came out to see what this stone soup was about. The teenagers just kept stirring and stirring the soup. And one of them wondered if it would be well seasoned with salt and pepper and spices.
This would taste good with salt and pepper and spices.
And the villagers looked in their cupboards, which happened to be underneath their seats, to see if they had salt and pepper and the little packet of spices. And we know that someone does because...
Shirley!
Oh, look!
Conley! Salt is so good. It makes the soup taste so great. Oh, Conley, if only everyone in this town was as generous as you are. Awesome. Good job. You know, guys, my parents always told me that generosity feeds the soul. And this cool minister I know, you know which one I'm talking about, right? Yeah, she once told me that when you're generous and you give, you say yes to the things that are most important in your life and yes to our values, to transforming ourselves and the world.
Oh, yes.
What else do you say yes to?
Enlightenment. Yes, to good food like stone soup made with fresh local farmer markets vegetables.
Yes. To the community who helps us make the soup.
Yes, to healing our planet and honoring human wholeness.
To what will you say yes? Join us in this offering.
The townspeople noticed their children were not in their homes, but had gathered at the town square, right up here. They slowly began to emerge from their houses, lingering on their porches, keeping an eye on these somewhat suspicious youth. But their children were having so much fun, laughing and singing and helping stir the soup, they slowly began to relax. A few of them even started to smile and feel their hearts opening up.
You know, I think this soup would be better if we had some carrots. Carrots make a soup really sweet. Do you guys think we could have some carrots out there? Are there carrots?
There may be some carrots.
If you are a townsperson with carrots, hold them up. Hold them up high so our children can get them.
Next to you, those carrots.
Look at the carrots for
carrots.
Our soup.
And off, one of the children ran to get them for the soup. She returned with as many as she could carry and dropped them into the pot.
Look at those carrots.
Onions. They had so much flavor.
Onions?
Friend. I think Conley found an onion.
Which townsperson has an onion?
Come bring it to the soup pot. Oh, with some help. Oh, no, not yet.
All right, put it in there.
The children and teenagers all tasted the soup. It was really beginning to taste good.
Mm-hmm, that's some good soup right there.
This is some good soup.
The townspeople could smell the wafting steam, and they all started to get hungry themselves, nodding their heads in agreement. The teenagers started talking about all the other ingredients that would make their soup even better.
This soup, it needs some eggplant and some squash.
And parsnips and cabbage and parsley.
Yeah.
And rhubarb and corn and Brussels sprouts.
What? Ew. Brussels sprouts.
Nobody likes
guys.
Brussels sprouts. Am I right? Come on, guys.
Ew.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, but look, here they are. And, you know, my mom said they're good for me, so we'll try them.
So the townspeople kept offering up food that they found under seats next to them. And they held them up so the children could come get them. Or they brought them up themselves.
Radishes. Corn.
Leftovers.
Potatoes.
And I think there's even a pig somewhere.
Where's the piggies?
Protein.
Gotta have protein in that there soup.
This soup needs some protein to last us through
the
winter.
And I think there might be a frog.
Frog.
There we go. Frog.
Big in the pot.
One of the teenagers...
I think this would be better if it were a vegan soup.
The narrator will take the pig. Oh, I guess not. Okay. One of the teenagers wondered about the lovely apples over here.
What about these apples? These would be great for our soup.
Oh, wait, no, hold on. Those are for dessert.
What's left, townspeople? Do you have anything left to give? Under your seats, it could be something that looks a little odd, like a pig or a frog. But you already put the pig in the frog, okay? Something magical began to happen among the townspeople. As each person opened their heart to give, the next person gave even more. And as this happened, the soup grew richer and smelled more delicious. Yum. As the townspeople stepped out of their comfort zones, protected, guarded, and suspicious, they stepped into a place filled with laughter, love, and community, a place where the magic happens. At last, the soup was ready. The townspeople gathered together. They had not been together for a feast like this for as long as anyone could remember. After the feast, they told stories and sang songs.
Kind of like Thanksgiving, huh? You know, I think we need another song. Let's all sing Come, Come, Whoever You Are together. Come on, guys.
Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving. Ours is no caravan of despair. Come yet again, come.
They sang and celebrated long into the night. when they were full and tired from all their fun, and some of the children had actually fallen asleep in their parents' laps, they were sneezing, they unlocked their doors and took the teenagers into their homes and gave them very comfortable places to sleep. Can somebody do a rooster? The next morning, the teenagers got up off the floor, packed up, ready to say goodbye. All the townspeople gathered in the square to see them off and say goodbye. They packed them sack lunches with snacks for the road. Some of the children begged them to come back, shouting, "We'll miss you." No, shout it.
Oh, we'll miss you too. You guys have been awesome. Thank you for hosting us and for your generosity. You have a great town here. To think, to be happy is as simple as making stone soup. See you later, guys.
Bye.
The townspeople thanked them and waved. They all felt that they had rediscovered their great community, realizing that sharing with one another made them all feel happy and connected. The end, or is it?
Phew! Well, after that joyful celebration of community, I want to invite us together into a spirit of prayer and meditation. We all pray and meditate in different ways. And sometimes, especially at this time of year, when we are thinking about all the tension and stress, it's easy for us to get tight and closed up. So I am going to invite us to pray a little differently today. We are going to pray with our bodies. You can do this sitting down, so get comfortable, but you'll need your hands free. And I'll guide us through this body prayer as we tune into our quiet center, to that silence within us that grounds us to life, to the universe, and to our being. Remembering that silence is not the absence of noise, but of tuning in to our inner life. And so we'll start this body prayer with our hands in a prayer position in front of our heart, in that yoga position of namaste. The divine in me greets the divine in you. And breathing in, we'll raise our hands up to the sky, separating them when they're ready, reaching up as if to reach for the blessings of the universe, for the holy gifts of life. And taking those blessings and gifts and drawing them into our heart and chest, crossing our arms over our chest, breathing in those gifts, and then extending our arms out forward, passing the gifts along out into the world, and back to prayer pose, to namaste. And we'll do that 3 times together at your own pace. This is my favorite time of year, this season of Thanksgiving, when we're asked to stop for a moment and think about all the things that we are grateful for in our lives. And we've done that today in so many ways, and we've given thanks for so many things, for our children who bring us so much joy and hope for the future. For our minister emerita and the legacy that she built here in this fellowship and an exciting future together. For youth and for community and for songs and for vegetables and soup. This is a time when we are reminded of all the things to be grateful for in our lives. I love reading my friends' Facebook posts for the 30 days of gratitude. They post something for every single day. I haven't done it yet. But I like reading theirs. And I love this season of Thanksgiving because sometimes I need to be reminded. I need to be reminded of what it is I am thankful for in my life, that there really are so many things. Because this is also a stressful time of year. We're making plans to travel. People are coming to our houses. We're going to a dinner. We're going to spend hours or days cooking. Family dynamics can be complicated. We have to remember what topics we're not supposed to talk about at the table. Or listen to Uncle Joe's story that he's told every Thanksgiving for the past 45 years. Or some of us are missing loved ones who won't be at our table this year. Or we're estranged from our families or separated by great distances. And so this time of year holds a little bit of sadness for us as well. Which is why we come together here to remind one another that being in community, that this beloved community is something to be grateful for. And even through all the complication and the stress of the holidays, we still seek the rituals. We still seek the traditions, and we create new traditions because I think we are hardwired to crave connection, to crave community, communion, to nourish ourselves while nourishing and honoring one another. That's what our story reminded us of today, right? That sometimes it's just too easy to close ourselves off and shut down and shut our doors and windows. But that welcoming the stranger reminds us who we really are and all that we have to give and all that we have to share and how good that feels. And that we ought not to judge those strangers by how they look or their age or what language they speak or what religion they are. Or what country they come from, but to remember that being in community celebrates our deep interconnection. I heard a wonderful story recently about astronauts at the International Space Station. And their space agencies had asked them, what did they need? Were they missing something months and months up there on the space station? Were they missing anything that made them feel at home or would make them feel more comfortable? And the only thing the astronauts wanted was a table so that they could sit around a table at mealtimes. And their agency said, that is ridiculous. You can't have a table in space. We'd have to drill it and anchor it into the ground, and you'd have to strap yourselves into chairs and the food. How are you going to eat the food, the dehydrated food and the water and the table, and it floats all over? And they said, we don't care if we have to endure that food. We want a table to sit around, to be together, to share in that ritual of eating together, of communing together. So we create those rituals to honor that connection and those traditions to honor that connection. And we're creating a new tradition here among us today with our apple communion. I cannot tell you where this originated. Only a handful of congregations that I know of celebrate an apple communion at this time of year. But it came from the church where I belonged for more than 10 years. They did it for years. And it has a deep, special meaning for me, a tradition that I want to celebrate and bring to you. My very first apple communion, I remember sitting in the rocking chair with my son William, who was just 2 months old, just weeks out of the neonatal intensive care unit where he'd been because he was born a preemie. And I'm sitting there with him, not even in the sanctuary, in the cry room, in the rocking chair. We're looking through the glass, and a young child hands me an apple. And I look out, and I can see everybody else with their apples. And I start to cry, feeling that connection of this community, of the community that I served, of the community where I looked out and saw all of these people who were going to help me raise my son. And 5 years later, at apple communion, he lost a tooth. biting in the apple. So we have these dear memories with apple communion. And apples are interesting too, right? How many of you eat apples? They're just so wonderful. I have one almost every day. They're easy to grab and have as a snack. They're tart and sweet, reminding us of the sweetness of life, but that sometimes life has a few pangs in it as well. And these apples come in a variety of colors, shapes, and sizes. There are 7,500 varieties of apples in the world, reminding us that we all come in a variety of colors, shapes, and sizes. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you to come up through the side aisles while the music plays. Get yourself an apple and head back to your seats down the far aisles or down the center. Don't eat it yet. Hang on to it, feel it, smell it, and let's wait and we'll all eat it together. Now, I've learned doing this over the years that we can't sing a closing hymn at this service. So while you enjoy your apple, I invite you to be with me in the spirit of our benediction. May this communion nourish our spirits, that we might go forth and nourish the world. In a world of hungry people, in a world where all of us are strangers, may we remember we are all connected. For family and friends and fellowship, for good food and laughter and traditions old and new. We extinguish the flame of our chalice and carry with us the flame of love, justice, and gratitude. Please turn to your neighbor and say, Happy Thanksgiving.